The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We have a couple of guests in the studio today. We have from the Huron County Health Department, Jesse Maurer, who's a registered nurse, and we have Vicki Coughlin. We're going to be talking about immunizations. It's something preventative, something good, and something that is available through the health department if you need it, or you can do it through your doctor as well. But the health department offers a full line of immunizations, young and old, so it's a good thing you can take advantage of. Thanks for being with us.
Yep, thank you for having us.
I'm going to see if I have in my mind what an immunization is, and you tell me if I'm going off base and flying wrong here. An immunization is basically usually an injection. Sometimes it's a nasal spray, but it is an injection of killed virus from the actual disease. Your body reacts to it as if it were alive. You create the antibodies, and then you have the immunity you would have after you fought off the disease had you really gotten it. Am I somewhat close?
Yeah, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Yeah.
That is it?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But we still do have a few live ones, right?
Yep, we have a few live, but the bacteria is considered dead. Mm-hmm. And there's also no nasal spray vaccines anymore.
They got rid of those?
Right.
They got rid of those, eh?
Yep, there was a flu one, and they decided that wasn't really doing the job. It was only 3% effective. So.
Oh, well, that's not even...
Yeah.
That's about the odds you have of scratch-off lottery tickets.
Right.
So, yeah, they're looking at how they can improve that. And so I guess the best thing about that is they actually looked at that, and they're not recommending it, knowing it's not effective.
Well, so. Then it isn't stagnant. It's an ongoing science to make sure it's effective, it's safe, and if there are better ways to make a vaccine or to make its potency better without actually giving you the symptoms of the disease.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, though, when you do get a flu shot or something, you may feel you got a little bit of a flu, but that's not actually the flu. That's just mainly your body reacting to making the antibodies?
Exactly, yep. You can have the symptoms of having a low-grade fever. You can feel achy, have a headache, things like that, but they should only last a day, two at the most. And yes, it doesn't mean you have the flu. Since you said it was not live, it's not really possible to get the flu from the vaccine. So.
And when your body reacts that way, one of the things we get when we're sick is a fever, because as I understand it, that tends to trigger a lot of our ability to fight off things.
Exactly. Yep, that's our body responding to it and recognizing it.
So. When we're at a normal temperature, our body doesn't need to expend all that energy on trying to fight something off because it isn't sensing any problem. But when it does, kicks in and triggers white blood cells and all kinds of other things to do good for us.
Yep.
Man, I'm getting this right. I'm feeling so good.
I just had a thought on that flu, too, that we need to remind people it's for respiratory. Because we have a lot of people who think it's stomach flu, that flu shot's going to help. And
so if you get the, not the sniffles, the other kind, the shot really isn't made for that.
Right. Children are a little bit more likely to have the respiratory symptoms along with they might have some vomiting and diarrhea, but it's really not as common as in adults. The flu is, like the common cold, just a more severe, and you might have a fever, but still all those respiratory symptoms. So,
I've heard that if it's the cold, you probably will shake it off in 2-3 days. If it's the flu, it'll last a week, week and a half, maybe two.
Yeah, that definitely can happen. Yep.
So if it's lingering, odds are you have a flu, not just a simple cold.
Right, yeah. And it can lead to hospitalization for even some healthy people, so it might not seem like a big deal, but if you ask anybody who has had the flu in the last couple of years, I think they felt pretty miserable and would rather not have it again.
And I take it we're pretty much in flu season. This is the time of year when people are trapped together inside a lot more, and if one person has it, let's share the joy.
Yep, it's increasing right now, so, yep.
And then it'll probably peak, and then once we can get outside more, it'll start tapering a little, maybe?
Yeah, flu season can peak anywhere from December to, in the last couple years, a couple years ago it was March, so it can be a little bit later, too, but Different strains, the A strain tends to be earlier in the season, and the B strain tends to be later in the flu season. So.
And sometimes the flu shots are multiple strains. They're looking at what they're expecting to come, and if they think it could be this, this, or this, they might put multiple strains in there to cover their bases.
Yes. What we have is the quadrivalent, so there's four strains
four.
In it.
You're giving four flus in one shot.
Right, yep. 2A and 2B, so.
Yeah. Or not 2B. That's the question. Basically, how long does it take for an immunization to kick in? I mean, it must take some time for your body to react and adapt.
Yep, 2 weeks is what they say is the full time for full effect. So,
is that just for the flu, or is that for most?
For most vaccines, yes. So if you did get the flu, chances are you could have gotten infected before you got the vaccine or before the vaccine fully kicked in. There are people who still get the flu even with having had the vaccine and having enough time for it to fully take effect, but could be a strain that's not in the vaccine. That's always a possibility.
Or
too.
They may have a additionally weakened system, or they simply, don't react well to it.
Yeah, that's another thing. The older we get, our bodies tend to not respond as well to the flu vaccine and other vaccines as too. So,
if you know, the flu shots, they seem to come out every year, but basically they're covering their bases for what they think are coming.
Yep.
What about the other shots? Shingles, pneumonia, these types of things are out there. Are they multi-year because they're basically one thing, or do they also require periodic updates?
In situations like the tetanus, it's good to keep up on that every 10 years just because the immunity from the vaccine does what they call wane, so it decreases.
Order that when you puncture your skin pretty deep with a nail or something, and just to be safe.
Yeah, but in most vaccine cases, they're not changing like the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine or the flu strains change really rapidly, so they have to keep up on that more. So.
But shingles is basically chicken pox when you're older, messing up with your immune system, and then you get the rash and you get the pain. And I'm not trying to discount that. I've known people who have had it, and it isn't pleasant.
Right, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, the shingles vaccine, that's all the same year to year. And you get, right now, you can get the vaccine. You just need one shot, and you have to be 60 or older to get it. And actually, 1 in 3 people will have had shingles in their lifetime. So
really?
Yep.
And does it, if you have the chicken pox, you aren't necessarily immune as you get older? Does that kind of wane as you get older, or your system gets a little less able to fight things off?
If you've had the chicken pox, the older you get, the more likely you are to get the shingles. So a person who's 80 is way more likely to get the shingles than a person who's 40 or 50.
I see. And does it come in lessing degrees, or is it usually full-blown? Ouch!
Yeah, it can come in varying degrees. It can be mild, where people don't have the long-lasting pain that can come after the blisters go away. And other people have severe versions, which affect their vision, hearing, and they have pain in the spot where they got the blisters for the rest of their life sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
So,
you it's just a chronic thing you're going to have to live with after that.
Right, yep. So the vaccine does decrease your chances of getting the shingles by 50%, and then it does even better with preventing that long-term pain.
Yeah, so apparently that's something to really think about, and yeah. Because like I say, my aunt had them, and I remember how painful they were for her, and mm-hmm. And I understand if they make it all the way around your waist, you're in a whole different league again, because it's about as painful, I think, as you can get. It's basically raw nerves, isn't it?
Yes.
For the most part.
Yeah, some people will say it hurts to even have their shirt on when they have the blisters, so.
Enough about Putin.
Can I throw in on the shingles, because that's part of my job is the mm-hmm. billing and what it costs, and it's an expensive vaccine. But we do have, and Medicare doesn't always pay for it, like it would pay for your flu shot, for those people.
Even though if you got it, it would be good for several years as opposed to the flu shot they're paying for every year. It's politics,
yep,
I guess.
Yep. And we have a system at work, a computer system, where we can check what your Medicare will do or not do for paying for it, if there's a copay, whatever. But we also have programs where, through the company that we purchase the vaccine from, that we can help out with the cost and pretty much charge just the $20 admin fee that we would have at our office, and then we can get the vaccine through the company. But, you know, there's guidelines, so the best for people is just to call us and we can talk it through, because every situation's based on individual situations. So
you're just, it's not just Medicare, because people have supplemental policies. Some may cover it, some may not, some may partially cover it, some may say, okay, you can only do so much in a year or whatever, and you know, and you want the flu shot, you want this, you want, you know, choices. Yep. But there may be options available.
There are. So best is to call us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is just a single injection, not a series or anything like you might think?
Correct. Just one.
Just one. That's incredible. What other types of vaccinations do older people need that maybe is wearing off, or they need to be, you know, thinking about? You got this flu shot, you got the shingles, everybody hears about that.
Yep.
But is there other things that can really impact you in your elder years?
The pneumococcal vaccine is another one.
Okay, English. Pneumococcal.
Pneumococcal, also known as the pneumonia vaccine.
Oh, there you go. See, that's easy.
Yeah, so once a person turns 65, then there's two that are recommended for them. We would give Prevnar, which would be the first one, and then due to insurances, they would have to wait another year until they can receive the second one.
So there's like two strains of pneumonia that it's trying to protect you from, and you get one in each kind of shot? Or is it a double thing where you need the second one to boost the first immunization to make it work? Because when I had polio shots, sometimes they were multiple things, you know, you got one and then 6 months later you got another one.
Yeah, well, these two actually, one covers 23 strains and the other one covers 13. So they actually cover different strains. They found the newer one that's out, if they give that one first, that it does help boost immunity to the second one. So depending on your history, you know, you may need one or the other first, depending on what you've had for pneumonia vaccines in the past. But we look at that if you have a MICR. So.
And pneumonia is an illness where you get fluids in your lungs and such, and it makes it hard to breathe. And that's kind of important, especially as you're older. You want to breathe.
Right, yeah. And the pneumonia vaccine, so this pneumococcal disease, it can cause pneumonia, meningitis, and bloodstream infections, so pretty serious things, not just pneumonia. So.
Because when you're older, you're more susceptible to other things, because it's kind of like a chain reaction.
Right, yep. If you have heart disease, any lung diseases, that puts you at a higher risk, and so something that might just seem like pneumonia can be deadly to anybody like that.
A lifetime of smoking taking its toll on your lungs can't be helpful either.
Exactly. And actually, if you're younger than 65, being a smoker, having asthma, that qualifies you to get one of these pneumonia vaccines even earlier in life. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we think of the childhood ones. They're still available too, right? Do they still get polio? I mean, is that something I think we thought we had conquered, and then all of a sudden it starts popping up in the world again? Because it's like, you know, I almost thought that was almost like smallpox, you know, where you didn't really need to do it anymore because it just wasn't there.
Yeah, we still give polio vaccines to children, mm-hmm. typically not to adults. But
usually
yeah.
It's an onset in childhood or early adulthood when you get polio.
Right.
So by that time, maybe it isn't as necessary, but... like I say, in my era, my parents, it was a frightening thing for families back then, because if your kid survived, you still had crippling effects and such that, well, we had a gentleman who worked here who had polio, and he had trouble walking and such all of his life.
Yeah.
It's a disease that keeps on giving, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. And we still have to give it just to keep down, you know, the numbers of just keeping polio away from the U.S. So,
and a lot of this has to do, and I really don't like the term, but it has kind of a herd mentality. And I think the farmers understand this with their cattle. You know, if you miss one cow, if the rest of them are all vaccinated against something, the odds of getting it are very nil because they're not going to get it from anybody else. Mm-hmm. But and the same works for people. I mean, if a lot of us are immunized, we keep these things in check. It happens in the school classrooms. It happens just out and about in our daily lives. That's one of the big benefits that we have of the immunizations that are available.
Right, yep. By you getting vaccinations or having your children vaccinated, you're not only protecting yourself, but you're protecting other people who, some of which may, because of diseases, can't get the vaccines and might be susceptible to these diseases even more so.
And because of the underlying disease, even more damaging to them.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, in my day, you know, we didn't have the chicken pox and stuff. You got it, and that was it. Or the mumps. I remember those. They weren't fun either. But I usually got a present at the end, which kind of made them palatable.
Yeah, for your suffering.
Yeah. Okay. And are we doing pretty good nationwide or in the area as far as making sure we start off immunized and stay through our adult years?
Yes, but it's something that still needs a lot of improvement, especially when it comes to adults. It's hard to track how many adults have actually had the vaccines that are recommended because not all physician offices and pharmacies document in our state's database whether a person has had the vaccines. So
they do that for children because of the schools and such needing the data to make sure that they don't have too big of a classroom where it's a risk, but the adult population is where we need to make better strides.
Right. Yep. With children, it's required. With adults, it's not required, but it's highly encouraged because not only does it make it easier for, say, us at the health department when we have somebody who presents to us and we're wondering what they need, but also for insurances and just keeping things at a lower cost for people so they don't get double billed or get something they've already had. So
because programs like Medicaid, they'll know if you had it because they paid for it,
right?
And they're gonna say we're not paying for it again,
right?
Because you've
mm-hmm.
already been immunized. And if and in a lot of the elderly population, they don't remember how long ago it was or if they had it, and this is where your problems can come into play.
Exactly. And when, like, for the pneumonia vaccine, for example, some people think they need to get it every 5 years, but really after you get those two doses, you don't need it again. So for people who may have that misconception and then they present to a pharmacy or wherever and where there's no records, they're going to get it again, even though they've already had it. So
it isn't harmful to get it again. It just won't do any better for you.
Correct. Right.
You know, it's that's an important factor, too, is you know, you don't want to take something and find out, you know, it'll harm you if you get too much of it.
Right.
Okay. I would imagine the doses are pretty well regulated as to, you know, this is good for a person your age and your size, because there's a lot of studies that go into this to make sure they're safe.
Yeah, there's a lot of different safety studies, and there's some things that are simply not studied, so they don't recommend it for certain age groups or certain people because there haven't been studies done on them. So the recommendations are based off of the studies that have been done.
But if the people note a trend, then they may start studies to do another group because they're seeing it popping up there, and that's how our system works.
Yes, yep.
Okay, but that's not something the health department does. You work with these studies, you work with the programs that are out there to see that the people in the area have the access to these types of immunizations.
Right, yep. We make sure that they are offered the vaccines that they could receive, and to give them education about maybe why they need it or what all is recommended. So education is another big part of what we do at the health department. So.
What type of immunizations are out there? I mean, we've talked about shingles, flu, and such, but there's a lot out there. I know there's rubella, and some of them are now all combined into a alphabet soup of a name for you. There's a lot of them out there.
Yep. One other one that we haven't mentioned is the Tdap, which is the tetanus and whooping cough, maybe that have people have heard of. So the Tdap is something that you get at least once. And once you've had that, then it's something that's just kept on for tetanus. But the Tdap we recommend for the whooping cough aspect of it.
And there have been some places where they've been recommending that for people who are going to be around newborn babies. I understand my niece, her first one was everybody had to have it, and it's like, okay, we'll go get one.
Yep.
But that has been a concern because, again, these things are starting to crop up again that we thought were pretty much under control.
Right. Yeah, actually, since maybe the 90s, the whooping cough has started to slowly increase. People kind of, like you said, thought of it as not really being around or an old disease, but there still are cases of the whooping cough. And if an infant gets sick with it, there's a high chance that they'll be hospitalized, and death is possible also. So by grandparents, parents, older siblings having at least one dose of the Tdap, that helps protect the infant. So.
Now, is that something, if you had it as a child, you're immunized, or is this, again, something that you should really be, just make sure?
Yeah, it's one of those things to just make sure. Most adults may have not ever had a Tdap. They might have just had a vaccine that just has the tetanus in it. So it's a good thing to call us and ask if you've had one, if you don't have any record of it. Children right now are getting it at age 12 mostly, so a lot of people who are in their younger years have probably had it, but anybody over 19, we recommend that they just call and ask if they've had it before. So,
and this should just be kind of considered routine health maintenance. This is things you need to take care of. It's no different than taking your blood pressure meds or anything else. It should be just kind of part of your routine.
Yeah, exactly. It could be considered sort of like your medications. I mean, you do that as a preventative thing with some medications, and all of these vaccines are preventing diseases that we don't really need to have around.
Well, and will become more of a problem if we don't keep addressing them. It just
right.
Out of mind, out of sight doesn't necessarily work with diseases. They sneak up behind you, and then all of a sudden, bam, you got a big problem, and you're going to tax the health industry and everything else.
Right. Yeah, it all goes back to, like you said, the herd immunity. If more people are getting vaccinated, it's going to protect more people. So.
Well, terrific. Now, if people want to get some information on vaccines, the costs and such, you normally do this on Tuesdays, but sometimes other days of the week, so they should just basically call the health department, see what works?
That's correct.
And you, Vicki, you're going to be the one who's going to determine whether if it's just they just have basic Medicare or if they have supplements. You'll be able, supplemental cares for that. You'll be able to determine what is covered, what isn't, and
true,
and how much is covered, because there'll be deductibles and other things probably
right.
as well.
Yeah, there's Medicare always pays for flu and pneumonia in full, but the rest of them, usually there's a copay, or maybe they don't pay any of it, depending on where they're at with their deductible. And we can tell them all that, and then they can decide. And we can go on to some of them, like I said about the shingles. Tdap, we also have, you know, the ability to make, you know, get a lesser cost for them and stuff. So
are these things that you would need your doctor to prescribe and refer you for, or is just something you take care of on your own? I know you
no.
can go to a pharmacy and get a flu shot.
Right.
I mean, but it's
right.
but I would think you'd want your healthcare provider to be involved and know what the heck you're doing.
Right. We don't need anything from the doctor, a prescription or anything, but we do have a lot of people who, when they come in for something, say their flu shot, and we start talking to them about the other stuff, they want to go back and talk to their doctor before they, and then they'll come back to us to get it or whatever, and that's understandable that.
Do many of the doctors kind of rely on the health department for this? I mean, if every office has to maintain vaccines, they're only good for so long. They're, you know, they have to be properly maintained in certain conditions and such. Light, maybe cooling or whatever. I mean, all of this stuff comes into play. Is it easier for some physicians just to refer them to you? Because you would likely go through patches a lot faster than a small doctor's office would.
I would think so. I mean, some of them carry some of the things, probably as the Tdap and the flu, maybe pneumonia. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like shingles, you're right. It's a touchier one to store. It's a frozen. It's kept frozen.
Well,
and
that
stuff.
Sounds
and
chilling going through. How do you get it through the needle?
Yeah, that's Jesse's problem.
Yeah. You push really, really hard.
We mix it with a liquid that's not frozen.
Oh,
so.
All right. You're making it sound worse.
Right.
I'm making it sound worse than it is. Okay.
Yeah.
But again, you want to make sure that the dose you're getting is potent and good for you.
Right.
So there are all these kind of factors.
Because we follow
play.
Some pretty strict guidelines of storage and how it gets checked every day and that kind of stuff.
I know that you folks start freaking when the power goes out, and you got to make sure
that's why we have a generator.
That's why these things have to be maintained, because you can lose a batch really quick if it just gets a few degrees off of where it should be, and then time to order again. And then you got to wait till it comes in, and people need it now, that type of stuff. So you really work to assure that the supply is there.
Right, yep. We wouldn't be giving it without knowing everything was safe, so that's good. Yep.
Well, that's reassuring, because, there are places around the world, I don't think they care that much, They're just worried about the payment or whatever, but it's nice to know that these services are available. They're available locally. You don't have to go way out of your way for it. The health department has a lot of other programs there as well to help you out, and when you get in there, you can talk to people at the front desk, and they can steer you to a bunch of other people in there that can help you too.
That's correct.
Yep.
Okay. Are there other things about the immunizations you wanted to cover? I know kids that get it, I know there was that whole scare thing there for a while, and people weren't getting them, but for the most part, it seems to have been, properly debunked. But there are still some people that worry about it. They're safe. And they have been safe all along.
Right, yep. And there's lots of things being followed as far as safety. But if somebody does have reactions from the vaccines that they've gotten, we give out information sheets with every vaccine that a person receives. So they can always refer to those sheets, but they can also call us or call their physician. But typically, the side effects that people may have after getting shots are a sore arm, redness, some swelling. They could have a mild fever, headache, feeling tired, kind of like what we talked before.
Kind of like being in January weather.
Yeah. So, we always recommend Motrin, Tylenol, ice. But if something other than those things come up and is concerning, then, calling us, going to the ER, those kind of things should be done. And we always report anything that people tell us, so that we're also playing a part in promoting safety and research.
It'll go to the CDC, it'll go to the makers, and they can research, what kind of problem occurred and how to prevent it.
Right.
Do people who have allergies need to let you know right off the bat what you have? Because I understood at some point, and maybe they don't do it this way anymore, but at some point there was like eggs or something in it, and if you're allergic to it was not a good thing. Do people need to be very careful in giving you their health information prior to getting the shot?
Yeah, we have a form that we have everybody fill out before we give vaccines, where we request you to give us any allergy information, health issues, just so that we can make sure we're not giving you something that you're allergic to, or that we can recommend something that you might need versus other people might need. So,
and if there's a question, do you just kind of do like the TB shot? You just put a little on the skin, see if it reacts, and come back in a couple of days or something, because it is risky, and you don't want to have a problem.
Right. No, we have certain sheets that have lists of what different things might be in vaccines that people would commonly be allergic to. So we would come back and tell you, well, there is this additive or whatever it may be in this vaccine. So, you could have a reaction more so than other people. And then we would kind of say it's not recommended for you, or if you would really like to get it, just know that you could have issues after. So,
because it always amazes me. I know I watch the commercials for stuff, and it's like, do not take this drug if you're allergic to this drug. And it's like, why would you take it if you're allergic to it?
Right.
You know what I mean? It just seems like common sense, but for people, right. Apparently today for litigation or whatever, you have to really spell it out. And you want to make sure that it's safe and the people using it are aware that it may cause them a problem.
Yeah, latex is a common one that will come up.
Oh, really? So. Yeah, I understand even the people who wear them eventually may get a sensitivity to them and they have to go to the others. So it's
right.
It's maybe more common than even us think around here.
Right, yeah, so we have the ability to order vaccines that have no latex in them. Some people, you know, just have a very mild reaction, so we would just have to make sure we say that there is latex in this. So if you don't want to get this version, we can order something else, and you just have to come back. So.
Okay, and it's not too late to get the flu shot, because you say it starts off in 2 weeks after you get it, but it's going to be around for a little while, and I know some crud is going through town here, because I know a couple of people who have had it, and they really sound bad.
Yeah, it's definitely not too late. We still will be offering the flu vaccine for months to come, so we still recommend it at this time.
Yeah. And is that recommended for every adult or people over a certain age, or do people only over a certain age get it, you know, like, obviously, if you have Medicare, you're over 65.
Right. All adults should get it, but anybody 6 months and older can actually receive the flu shot, so.
Terrific. Are there other things you want to make sure? And you have a whole sheet there, and I didn't want to make sure that we missed out on something you wanted us to get the word out on.
I think we covered most of it. Yeah,
I think we did.
So if you have questions, contact the health department. The health department can tell you what they have available. They can even check to try and see if you've had it. And if your doctor doesn't participate in that, you may not get any kind of result on that. Mm-hmm. And Vicki, you can help them figure out what their costs are going to be for, you know, it's already in their arm and they're like panicking like, oh no.
Well, we hope we have that all figured out before that's in their arm. But
I guess that's a question. Is it usually in your arm or do you get it in other places?
For adults, it's pretty much always in the arm.
Oh, okay. Usually it's like, no, I want it in my tush.
Yeah. Nope, haven't done that.
All right. Little ones get it in their eye.
Well, they've got a little more meat to them back there than they do in their arms when they're tiny. But,
yep. Nope, they say if you get it in the back end, then you're more likely to get into the fat, not the muscle. So we don't do that anymore.
Well, I'm sure with me you'd have fat, so that wouldn't work. I appreciate you coming out today, and again, if people want information on vaccines and such, you folks are always available. Health department is open Mondays through Fridays, and you've got your Tuesday clinics sometimes other days of the week. They can check with you, see when it's available. They probably can just make an appointment and come in and get it if they need it. You'll have pamphlets and stuff that'll explain what the vaccines are, these types of things. So plenty of reading to find out what you just put in your arm.
Right.
Our guests today on the program, Jessie Maurer, registered nurse, and Vicki Coughlin. She's a secretary with the Huron County Health Department. We've been talking about vaccines. They're not just for infants. They're for adults and for the elderly, especially the elderly. If you on certain things like shingles that tend to pop up the older you get, they can tell you what's available, what costs will be, and they can also sometimes help you get a break on some of these things like the shingles, depending upon your own financial situation. Obviously, you can pay for it, you'll have to pay for it, because they want to make sure they don't overtax the companies for the people who can't. Right. Mm-hmm. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news. Just keep it right here.